Any of you guys are involved at all in access to care for uninsured exposure? Okay, Glenn, good. Well, that's why I probably won't have to go on very long. This was actually a capstone for one of our MPH students. Eric is now up at University of Minnesota in his family practice residency, and he was gracious enough to allow me to come here, but I am really Eric Chow today, because he really worked independently on this. So, no financial relationships, there was no money for this whatsoever. You know, all of us work for free, right? But I've worked with uninsured populations in my home community, Wichita, Kansas, for about the last 10 years, thereabouts. And I'm a really applied person, so whatever work we do in the community, it's very hands-on. So we know that, you know, Healthy People 2010 has had the objectives, and now even into 2020, that we want everybody to have insurance, healthcare insurance, and we want them to have a primary care provider, somebody that they go to on an ongoing basis for their healthcare needs. We also know that health insurance is linked to access to care. If you don't have insurance, very difficult to have an ongoing source of care. So we know uninsured rates running about 14.5% nationally, in Kansas about 16.1%. In Sedgwick County, like 2006, it was 16%. However, a lot of the aircraft, our manufacturing base is aircraft. And with the downturn in the economy, we've seen a real upsurge in numbers of uninsured, and therefore our safety net clinics have been burdened. And so for about the last 15 years, there's been a group that I'm going to describe to you that's been working together. But some of the, when you don't have insurance, you don't get your primary care, and you have a tendency to use the emergency department. You use less preventive services. You have a tendency to postpone care. You use alternative care. And in addition, it's difficult to access a specialist, a medical specialist for care. So we know that the barriers for purchasing health insurance, of course, are cost. And can a low-income wage earner afford the premium that is required to purchase health care? If you've got a pre-existing condition, it's difficult to get your health care insurance. And naturally, if your employer does not offer the option of purchasing health care insurance, very, very difficult to purchase that out of pocket, out of your earnings. So with primary care, we know that we have lower rates of all causes of mortality. We have an increased lifespan and increased use of preventive services, and better overall. It's also less expensive. So in terms of, for about the last 15 or so years, with our first community health assessment that was like in the mid-90s in Sedgwick County, there's been this continuing group of individuals who gather from time to time to try and address our local difficulties with situations that involve lack of health insurance and lack of access to care. So we've got our Project Access program, which is our physicians in Sedgwick County. About 65% of them volunteer, they donate their time to take care of uninsured patients. And so it's actually a referral system that was first initiated back in Asheville, North Carolina. And it's been active since 1999. So it's this group, the physicians, the director, the executive director of the Medical Society, our Central Plains Foundation, this would be our county, one of our county commissioners, it's our United Way. It's really a large group of community leaders, if you will. So within the last 2 years, and Betty will correct me if I'm wrong, we formed three groups, and actually I worked on the coverage group. Each one of these different groups was looking at ways to improve access to care for uninsured adults. So the coverage work group was looking at, can we create or pull together the support for a look-alike insurance product that would be predominantly offered to small businesses who can't always afford you know, to underwrite all the risk associated with their employees. So this survey was actually intended to gather information to help the coverage work group design this insurance plan lookalike. So in essence, the study purpose was to describe the attitudes of residents in Wichita, and looking at, there were several questions that asked, how much can you pay? Would you pay to help somebody else? Why do you not purchase insurance? There were lots of other questions on this survey, but what I'm going to focus on today is there was a set of health services, categories of health services that were listed in the survey, and the survey participants were asked to rank order those in order of importance for themselves and for their families. So, and what I was really interested in looking at are, what are the characteristics that help us to understand why an individual would rank primary care first? So, a little bit of the background. This is secondary analysis. I did not get to contribute to the design. We are, in essence, trying to use this pilot. I mean, and this is not a sexy study, believe me. But looking at how do we educate our community partners that the results of your survey, of your any data collection, is only as good as the plan and the time that you invest in asking the right questions and making sure you get a representative sample of your intended audience. So it was convenience, it was cross-sectional, and it was collected online. But we found that they weren't getting enough uninsured participants. And so we had students who went to the local safety net clinics, and we had a pen and paper, and it was also in Spanish as well, to try and gather more information from uninsured adults. So Eric initially, he did the descriptive chi-square analysis on 385 observations, and we did the logistic regression just on 104 of those. And again, very small. I would not change policy based upon the results of this, but again, using it to educate our partners in the community. So here's what this would be the delimited down to the 104 uninsured participants, because they were the only ones who actually rank ordered the categories of healthcare services. And that was kind of surprising to us, but then we started thinking about it, well, okay, that makes sense. If you have health insurance, you don't have to prioritize. You can access it whenever you need it. So you can see our population, the sample was younger. They were predominantly female. They were white, non-Hispanic, and about equal distribution for married and single, and then a little bit better educated in terms of some college and technical school. And then about a third were unemployed, but the other thing that I think is surprising that they're a significant number in this sample who actually are working either full-time or part-time and still don't have insurance. So they were definitely lower income, and the largest percentage rated their health as good. So these were the eight, oh, sorry about that, guys. These were the eight categories of healthcare services that were, they were asked to rank order. So you can see primary care, that was the good news out of this. Who would have thought primary care would come out on top for nearly every age group and gender, et cetera, these different groups. But I, you know, I used to work ER and ICU when I was still clinically based. So it really did surprise me to see when the uninsured use emergency care so much that it would come through as a primary care as first order. So here's just a little bit of descriptive analysis in terms of looking at the preferences for healthcare services by gender. And I don't think there's a lot of surprises here in terms of women preferred primary care predominantly, and also for tests. But, and then you see males wanting the hospital services and also ER services. And then secondarily, looking at these by age strata, again, we did see some age tendencies in terms of the older you are, the more you would prefer hospital care, which that makes sense. And then younger folks having a tendency to prefer emergency care services. And then for specialists, you know, cardiologists, GI docs, et cetera, that you would see a preference, again, as people get older. But I think that makes sense as well. So these were the variables. These were the only demographics that were collected by the consultant who got to lead this effort. And they really do, they stay pretty close to the social determinants of health. And that's what we used in the logistic regression and looking at what factors help us to understand why the individual would prefer primary care as a first choice. So again, when you look at these odds ratios, you just want to cringe. And poor Eric, he was really disappointed when this happened. But I said, Eric, it's okay, because next time around, we'll get a bigger sample, a better sample. But you can see that, you know, if you were female, you were more likely to prefer primary care as first choice. If you were younger and also older, if you had a high school education, you were less likely to prefer primary care. And then finally, and this kind of makes sense too, if you saw yourself as having very good health status, you were much, much, much less likely to choose primary care as your first choice. So again, wouldn't change policy. It's interesting, but hopefully we will be able to educate our friends back home. So we saw a lot of parallels that you see in the literature already with the variations in healthcare preferences, gender, age, and again, looking at the employment type, household income, all of these traveled with what's been reported in the literature. So at least that was, it was, well, Eric was really happy about it, and I was happy for him as well. So again, we know lots of limitations with this in terms of the selection bias, looking at your measurement bias, probably the instrument. This would have been my biggest concern because it was not representative. And they kind of had to go after finding the folks that they really wanted to survey. And then again, doing the survey during an economic downturn, that introduces some bias as well. And finally, well, of course, we would strongly urge our partners to pilot test that instrument. We also, they're continuing to explore with our local businesses interest in creating that risk pool to purchase insurance, because we just decided we're not gonna wait around for healthcare reform to get implemented, and we're looking for our own answers. So the other thing we're looking at right now is, because multidimensional scaling, that would allow us, it can be performed on smaller sample sizes. And so we're looking at how did the respondents cluster in terms of their preferences. So finally, and you guys, everybody in this room, we all know the conclusions, implications. We need health insurance in place so everybody can get access to care and continue working on the local effort. I still think that we'll find those answers in our own communities versus waiting for the national government to come up with those. And the other thing I think is interesting too, and we should consider, is how do different groups of adults value health insurance? And given the fact that they would get, if you had health insurance and you had access to care, how would you use that care? And would they use it in a manner that is appropriate and cost effective? So that's it.